Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. I hope everybody's staying cool out there. I know we added a fan to the studio today to keep ourselves cool. Today, we have a very special show. In the past, we've interviewed experts, we've had different guests on the show who have landed their dream jobs, and today we're going to be doing mock interview Mondays. So the last Monday of every month, we're going to have a guest in who's going to be interviewed by one of our career experts. And so today we have Allison Garrido joining us. Allison is passionate about helping people find a job they enjoy. As a career coach, she helps her clients identify their strengths and create a path towards a fulfilling career. She also provides intensive resume review and interview preparation. Allison has a background herself in human resources, and during her time in HR, she coached staff members at all levels around performance reviews and facilitated off-site and in-house trainings. She now facilitates an original workshop series for those making a transition, and she studied psychology at Northeastern University and is a certified professional coach through the International Coach Academy. Thank you so much for being here, Allison.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, I'm so delighted that you could be here. And today, for confidentiality's sakes, we're not going to give the first and last name of our guests who are going through the mock interview, but we do have a guest, a friend, a peer of mine, Francie, who is here, and she is somebody who's been in human resources for 15 plus years, has worked in various law firms, and today we're going to hear a mock interview conducted by Allison with Francie. At the end of the interview, then what we're going to do is we're going to give a breakdown. It's kind of like what you always wish you knew. You know how you've gone into a million of those interviews and you want to kick yourself and go, gosh, what could I have said differently? How could I have occurred differently? And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to give a debrief to Francie. After the interview, Allison and myself will provide feedback. And if we have adequate time at the end, Allison may even throw in a couple tips and tricks about how to get rid of those restless nerves right before an interview, because I know we all get faced with those from time to time. So I am turning the show over now to our guests, Allison and Francie.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. And Francie, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's nice to be here.
I appreciate you taking the time to interview. So, I've seen your resume, but I'd like to hear a little bit about you. Tell me about yourself.
Well, I have worked in the legal field for over 20 years, as Jen said, and I have worn many hats over the years, and I feel that I can really put forth a lot of knowledge and background into the business of law, and to really understand each department, how it operates on, and kind of is, just on a day-to-day operational level. Mm-hmm. So that's my background.
Wonderful. And tell me, why are you looking now? Are you currently employed?
So I'm not. I resigned from Michael Minn, and it was a very difficult decision, but I wasn't able to actually put my, my best foot forward. I had some trouble getting off the ground there, and so I just felt it was better to leave and kind of focus on some of my personal challenges. So I did resign.
Okay, and how has your time been focusing on those challenges?
Oh my, it's been great. I've taken some art classes, and I've just dealt with a lot of family and helping my mother-in-law clean out her garage, little things like that. But they're very instrumental in her life, so it's been good.
Wonderful. And so, why are you ready to come back to work now?
I've taken the time. I've really reflected. I've dealt with a lot of things, and I feel like I'm in a really good place now, and that I can give my all and be able to really make a difference in a firm.
Great. Could I have you walk me through a little bit of your resume and your last few jobs,
sure.
why you've left, what that's looked like for you?
Sure. The position that I held at Glaser Weil, that was, I was there for 6 years, and it was a great position. It was very progressive. I worked, I was hired on a contract basis, and for the recruiting. So I was doing attorney recruiting, and then just gradually I sort of just took on a lot more responsibilities and just kind of worked my way up. Talk about projects. I mean, there were, you know, unfortunately there were some layoffs, so that was a big part of it in 2008, doing a right sizing within the firm and undertaking the handbook and policies and procedures and revamping them and working with the labor attorneys on, you know, the best policies and practices, and then working within the departments of the firm and how, you know, were the departments running efficiently, and just looking at the operations of each department.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you really enjoyed that role.
I did.
And what made you decide to move on from that position?
So that position was actually eliminated. They had hired a company, Vendor Direct, to come in and manage the and outsource the office management. And at that time, it was the records department and office services. And so at that time, they also right-sized the human resources department and eliminated my position.
Understood. And then you moved on to Nossaman.
I did. That was a contract position. Great experience. Working under Michelle Lifman was, it was just a really good experience, seeing how a real professional in the position. It's a great firm. It was downtown. It was sort of outside my comfort zone, but I hadn't worked in downtown ever, so it was really interesting to see and to be a part of the city.
I can see your excitement when you talk about that role.
It was a good experience.
And why did you move on from that position?
Well, it was a contract position, and at that time I was looking for something full-time on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
Although downtown was certainly a great experience, I did want a shorter commute.
Okay. So as you changed jobs a few times over the past few years, tell me, what have you learned in these experiences of changing jobs?
Great question. I think each firm has its own dynamic, and it's the people. It's the people that bring the firm together and the atmosphere within the firm, and just to get to know how different departments run. I mean, there's always takeaways and how one firm may do things differently, and those are great ideas, and you know, that's how you want to, you know, proceed. And I'm getting lost. Sorry, but anyway. So I think that there is always something to learn from each firm.
Mm-hmm. And what are you looking for in your next position?
Well, I would love to be within a firm that has a strong HR department, that really has a team behind it, a place that I can really grow and be a part of and feel... a tough position, and just to feel that I am contributing.
Hmm. Tell me more about that. What's a tough position?
Human resources. it's Jen's lap. You know, it just has it's had a bad rap for years, and you always hear the people that say, oh, the HR department, they don't know what they're doing, you know. It's a lot of policies and procedures. It's mm-hmm. a lot of rules that you have to enforce, and nobody wants to work under rules. And so it's a really fine line. But I think what my drive and motivation is are then the people. Like, I want, you know, just for employees to be comfortable where they are and happy with what they're doing and fulfilled and rewarded. So that's where the actually joy comes in, but it is tough.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a great point. HR is a place where we have a lot of rules and sometimes some pushback. Can you tell me about a time when you've really successfully managed some pushback or enforced some rules and still made sure someone was happy with the outcome?
There have been a lot, so let me think about this. Mm-hmm. The time I'm thinking of is when we were cutting back our vacation policy, and that's never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right there, there's a lot of pushback. We were going from, I think it was 12 days to 10 days a year. But most often, it's a grandfathered situation. It's really for the new people coming in. Mm-hmm. So it's a little easier to lay out. But, you know, you just have to work with the difficult people. A lot of one-on-ones. It's dealing with the people that you need just to spend a little extra time with, and so they can get comfortable. And that's what it is. It's getting people on board, and everybody comes on board at a different pace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are your favorite things about working in human resources?
You know, every day is different. Mm-hmm. And every day is a new challenge, and that is, you know, every time I go home, I've conquered another deal or I've conquered another project, and it feels good.
Absolutely. So, as you've gone through your career in human resources, tell me about what do you think if I talked to your last boss? How would your last boss describe you?
Another great question.
I know, you're nailing it.
I'm like, oh no. I think he would say I was dedicated and a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that we had a good rapport. He would say, you know, he could count on me to be there and, you know, implement or oversee a project and make sure it gets done correctly, mm-hmm. and on time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I do have a great sense of humor, but I think he would have some very positive things to say.
Wonderful. I won't ask you to tell me a joke.
Okay.
It's very tempting,
not
though.
Now.
Very tempting. that's great. So tell me, is that different than what one of your friends might say about you? Tell me how one of your friends might describe you.
Oh, that's totally different. outgoing, fun, charismatic, just enjoy life and being together with friends.
Okay, wonderful. So I have one more question, and then I'd love to hear what questions you have for me. But can you tell me about what was one of your proudest achievements as a human resources professional?
You know, I have to, I think back on the people and really working with the people. And if they're unhappy, you know, getting them to a place where they feel good and rewarded. I do recall at Glazer Wild there was an incident where one of the employees was having a very hard time and had used up all of her sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just something very personal. You know, rules are rules. You have so much vacation and you get it accrues at such a rate, and that's it. And so I did go above and beyond, and I actually went out of my own pocket to help her become balanced. But it was hard to see her struggle, and it was hard to see her as a single parent, you know, needing time off and not being able to take it or having to be unpaid. So that was a personal situation for me.
Wonderful. And I know I said that was the last question, but because this is a mock interview and this is a question that so many people get nervous about, mm-hmm. and can be a point of great coaching, I wonder, could you tell me about something you're working to improve?
Yes, I'm actually working to improve my communication skills. It's very mm-hmm. difficult. I'm a man of few words. So I think it's better to elaborate, and I know probably that's going to be some of the critique here, is just elaborating and being able to explain in detail some of the work I've done, and just to boost up myself, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to do and to talk about yourself and to pat yourself on the back. It's very difficult to do, so that's what I'm working on.
Okay, wonderful. And could you share a few questions that you would have at the end of an
sure.
interview with me, please?
Sure. I have a couple. You know, I always look at the position. I always want to know what are the short-term and long-term goals of the department.
Mm-hmm.
I like to ask about the people that I would be working with most, and mm-hmm. to see, you know, what are their management styles. And then just to see if there are any changes or improvements they would like to see within the department, if any. So those are the kind of questions that I would ask at the end.
Wonderful. Francie, thank you so much for coming in today.
You are amazing. Both of you.
Well, thank you for your time, Allison. I really appreciate it.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
All right. That was awesome. Okay. Shake it off, guys. Shake it off. That was amazing on both your parts. I mean, seriously, kudos, because on both your sides, I could tell it's not easy. It's hard enough sometimes to sit there with a perfect stranger in an interview. And for those of you who don't know, Allison and Francie had not met before. We just came into the studio here. And so what was great is I loved that, Allison, some of those questions were brilliant.
I've been
interviewing, I mean, I know only 13 years, but some of those questions I had never heard before. I love the question of how would your boss describe you?
Yes, that was very difficult.
Yeah, and that was I think I'd heard that once or twice, but I had never then heard the follow-up question, which is how would your friends describe you differently,
But isn't it much easier to have your, you know, say what your friends would say?
Yeah, so that was really interesting. One of my other favorite questions is, oh my gosh, if I could only read my own handwriting. This is why I do everything on a computer. Is what have you learned from changing jobs? From a highlight standpoint, as an HR recruiter person, like, I just thought those were some fabulous questions. And I know, Francie, you're in HR as well, so I could tell you were both happy and sad. She was asking those questions.
Exactly.
Okay. So, Allison, do you want to start with a couple of points, and then we can kind of just touch on a few things?
Well, I wonder, how did you have prepared answers, or did you have?
Well, you know, Jen has this great little interview worksheet, mm-hmm. and I did take some notes from her worksheet, and I did write down, you know, she says, you know, state 5 reasons why you would want to work here, 5 reasons why you should be hired, and 5 reasons, or 5 questions about the position. So I did prepare, but again, it's still not enough.
If we were sending out somebody through our agency, we tell people to go through that, and then we do a full mock interview with them. But I wanted Francie to be fresh,
yeah.
So I didn't offer her any coaching beforehand.
Right.
Gotcha. So you had a little bit of preparation,
so
but my...
I did, and because some of these questions, you know, some of the holes on my resume, I feel are a little harder to address.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the reasons why I left, you know, for personal reasons, you know, how do you really say that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that an interviewer wants to hear?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, it's personal, so you can't really say too much about it, and
mm-hmm.
you can't ask too many questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, did that satisfy your curiosity.
Sure. And that's why I asked the question of what did you learn? Because I think there's an opportunity there when you're talking about how jobs changed to spin it positive and talk about, you know, you use this time to do things that prepared you for the next opportunity. Just quickly, I'll tell you, the first note that I wrote down is you can hear a smile.
Yeah.
Once you loosened up and started to smile,
it was nosamine. I noticed that there was a big shift, like about 5 minutes in, for whatever it was worth, because I was just sitting back and observing, and your energy completely shifted. As soon as you started talking about something that really lit you up, mm-hmm. it was a completely different person who was interviewing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, start, and we'll talk about this a little bit at the end too, but any way that you can get ready for the interview in a positive way, so you come in smiling and feeling like you're ready to have a conversation, because a lot of my questions are invite some conversation, right. And I have follow-up questions, and that's a nice rhythm to have in an interview. So if you can start it from the beginning in that warm way, you'll feel better just tricking yourself mm-hmm. into and being
you're
happy
totally right.
By
that's
smiling.
The first thing I put at the top of Francie's resume,
you know,
was smile.
Though, sometimes
you smile
over,
a lot too, right?
When I looked over at you, I could see you smiling. I'm like, oh, I need to smile more.
I was sending you smile vibes.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, and a couple of things I noticed initially. About the thing about it being personal, there was a way that you said that that left me as the interviewer, as though I were the person interviewing you, with a hesitation. So, and what's interesting was when we were first talking about it, to me, how it occurred over here is that you didn't want to go back to work. Like, I didn't get, my experience was, oh, you're doing art classes and you're loving this and you're loving that. So I, as the interviewer, was left with, oh, she really doesn't want to go back to work. She's really enjoying her time off, or does she need to go back to work? And I hear that a lot, I'm sure Allison does too, mm-hmm. when somebody's in between jobs, because if you're enjoying your time off so much, why wouldn't you want to go back to work?
That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you want to sound happy. Like, the thing about your mother-in-law was great, but so if I were you, you might even want to take a step back and say something like, you might want to be the one to bring it up. That's the first thing I teach people, and I know Allison and I have talked about this in our co-coaching before, mm-hmm. is what I call proactive versus reactive interviewing, where you want to be the one to anticipate why that's a concern. Because one of the first opening questions Allison asked you after, tell me a little bit about mm-hmm. yourself, was, oh, are you working? Why not? And if you cannot be on the defense and be on the offense, the whole interview will transform. So if you walk in and Allison says, how was your drive over here? Tell me a little bit about yourself. You could say, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here. You know, it's been great having a little bit of time off to help out with my family, but I'm so eager to get back to work now. And I'm grateful I had that time to really evaluate what I want, but I feel like I have a clear head around it now.
Mm-hmm. And you can add that to what you're bringing to the next job, right? You've learned all these things in your experience, and now you've had some time off and you're coming back refreshed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Great input.
Yeah, that was very, very helpful. And it's funny because the more what I noticed, and I don't know if Allison saw this as well, when you felt confident and happy, you were very succinct and direct in your answers and able to answer with ease. And when you started to doubt yourself, you would ramble a little bit and just kind of like talk around. And there was a little bit, like you had said, it wasn't as much a lack of talking. My experience of you as a person is you're very affable and easy to speak with. But it was two different things. One, not getting to the point, and two, not giving evidence. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I teach people when we're, it's something from Alison Armstrong's workbooks and classes, is depending on if you're interviewing with a male or a female, or a testosterone-driven female or an effeminate male, you're also going to want to interview differently. If you're in a circumstance where you have a lot of, you know, just kind of more casual, you know how you meet people and they interview you and they're naturally just very approachable and friendly, you're going to want to have more of a conversational style like mm-hmm. Allison was mentioning. But if you're perhaps meeting with an executive director, be it a male or female, if their time is precious and they don't have a lot of it, you're going to want to get to the point as quickly as possible and be as intentional as you can be in your answers, with giving concrete examples and facts that are going to make a good case for why you would be the right person for the job.
Absolutely. And when we were talking about one of the roles, and you talked about your position that was eliminated.
Yes.
It seemed like you almost like remembered that halfway through talking about it, and then you inserted it in that the role was eliminated. Right. So you might, you know, think about the progression of your answer just being like the progression of your job or the progression of your resume, and this is what brings me to the end. kind of things. So when you do the tell me about yourself, it can talk about some of your achievements and then end with why you're so excited for that job. So it's the natural kind of closing.
And I feel like of all the questions that Allison went through with you of each job between Nossaman and Michaelman and Glazier, the one you had the most ease with was Nossaman. So when you go back and listen to this, what's really interesting is just notice the different experience of how it was, where it felt like it was just easy and, oh, yeah, no problem. It was super conversational. And what was interesting with the other two positions is there were words like tough and challenge that came up a lot. Mm-hmm. And we don't even realize as human beings, but one of the things that I do a lot of coaching with people on language is just as human beings, when we say tough, challenge, hard, etc., that immediately is a trigger word that can shift the dynamic of the interview or conversation. Mm-hmm. If we're in conversation with a stranger and somebody starts talking about how something's hard or it was really tough, the energy of that conversation changes as opposed to focusing on a solution. So there was a lot of, oh yeah, you know, this was a challenge, but then there wasn't a very clear cut, like, when people get asked that question of, oh, tell me about a difficult personality that you dealt with or a challenging situation, if you can clearly give the A plus B equals C thing, it's going to make it a lot easier to get your point across and to kind of not have someone poke holes in what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you had this experience, Allison, but the one thing that if I were the person doing the interviewing for the job, when you were talking about one of your achievements and your accomplishments, yes, I thought that was very generous and kind of you to give time of your own personal accord. But for me, I actually saw that as a liability because I saw it as preferential treatment. And I'm like, could that be seen as preferential treatment? Like, I've seen some cases where entire firms have all contributed an hour. Mm-hmm. And in that case, yeah, that would be a great example because, everybody in the firm came together. It created great morale. But if it's one person doing it, it could be judged differently. I don't know. I would love your take on that, Allison.
No, absolutely. It felt like it was an example that I would have loved to have heard more about why you were proud of it, what exactly you did. Because my guess is you did something that might have been, I guess, seen less preferential.
Yeah.
If you'd thought about what the example looked like. It also might make me a little worried that you could be susceptible to making exceptions in
that's
to,
what Jen was
to,
kind of referring
yeah. to the sob story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's again, and we all get it because I've been there, and I, as a business owner, I want to do the same thing. It's mm-hmm. like you want to make sure to try and do that, but you have to, you know, treat people fairly mm-hmm. and equally. But at the same time,
for
you never
example.
Know how somebody could relate to it. Somebody might go, "Oh, that was so kind of you," but try to think of examples specifically that would further your case that somebody can't poke holes in, because that's what as any HR person will tell you, or any person who's interviewing, you have the job when you walk in the door, mm-hmm. and it's what you say that gets you the job or loses you the job just out of your explanation. And the more that people can poke holes in what you mm-hmm. say, mm-hmm. the more your back is going to be up against a wall and you're going to be on the defense rather than the offense, which is not where you want to be in an interview.
Mm-hmm. And building on the positive language part, I was just in an interview workshop on Saturday, and we talked a lot about using positive language. So the dealt with, handled, those are words that are so common in our speech, but you've never enjoyed dealing with something.
Yeah, it's a negative
or handling something.
For sure.
Absolutely. So it's the difference between saying I dealt with difficult customers or I dealt with conflicts and saying I ensured customer satisfaction through.
So great. Great point. And Francie, you actually said something to that effect because I circled it and wrote it on here. You said something was a difficult decision. Mm-hmm. And again, you used the term tough position and challenge a couple of times. And it's a subconscious thing as human beings that we do. But like mm-hmm. Allison said, the minute you bring awareness and consciousness to it, you can transform it from a negative into a positive.
Mm-hmm. So are there more examples of changing out the words handled and dealt with and...
Those are the ones that I see the most mm-hmm. handled and dealt with, because we use them when we're speaking so naturally, and no one thinks you're saying something negative, but when you stop and look at it. Yeah.
Can I give an idea? So one thing that I've noticed in languaging with people, so when you said I was in a tough position, a way that you could transform that is to say I had an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I had an opportunity to work with this individual. And when the thing about the vacation, I think that's what it was, is you had, you should see my handwriting. Mm-hmm. It's all over. This is why I don't write on resumes. But when you said something about it put a difficult position when you limit somebody's vacation. Mm-hmm. So the way that occurs for me in my listening is it's only difficult if we say it is, and if HR is saying it's difficult, then it's going to occur as difficult for the staff. Mm-hmm. And so a way that you could have turned that even into something is you could have said, gosh, you know, one of the things that I had an opportunity to really work on was when I was in a particular role, they actually cut the vacation by 2 days. And sometimes that can be something that might turn somebody off when they're considering a position, or especially for staff who are currently there. So it was my job to keep the morale up, and I actually put a system in place to create a great morale and to create a spin on it that bought everybody in and got everyone enrolled in it.
Right. So it's that keep morale up mm-hmm. instead of stopping morale from falling. It's the same idea.
Yeah, I think your words, mm-hmm. the language on that was saying cutting back is never a good thing. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't even realize, it's not a you thing, and I want to be clear about this, is I get the value that you're adding for everybody listening out there, because it's only when we bring consciousness and awareness that we can start to live an intentional life and speak intentionally and have our listening also be intentional of ourselves and others. Because one of the other things that I got initially that shifted about 50% through the interview is it was a little bit self-deprecating. Like, you would just say tiny little things, like even people, and as women in general, women tend to say I'm sorry a lot, which is one mm-hmm. of the most dangerous phrases in the English language. I'm not sure you said that per se, but there were subtle things that you said that put yourself down as opposed to brought yourself up. And an idea I had for you too is Toastmasters. It really might make a difference. That way you can eliminate some of the ums in conversation and own your greatness and just be fully present and aware. And I had to go through it. I do a professional speaking now, mm-hmm. but I remember just being nervous as all hell, just sitting there in front of 24 strangers giving my Toastmasters talks, and yet now it's breathing and it's effortless, and I might have one per 100 or 300 words as opposed to every other word.
Absolutely. And I loved that you said great question.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You acknowledged that it was a challenge,
yes.
and you bought yourself some extra time.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things that somebody taught me years ago, is that if you need to buy yourself extra time, allow a conscious breath, say, that's a great question, allow another breath, and then compose your answer and get eye contact. Because something you did, and it's a little bit different being in the studio, but I was watching a lot of the eye contact and the body language between the two of you. It was great. And something that you could work on is that you looked away when you were formulating an answer. So sometimes it's very common. I interview thousands of people every year. They'll look up to the left or the right, and they'll look away as they're giving the answer. And so one tip that you can sometimes try on is look away in the pause in between. So while the person is asking the question, it's okay to say, huh, that's a great question. Look away, formulate your answer. You can count to 10, whatever you need to do, and then reconnect with eye contact with the person who's interviewing you, and it's going to create a much stronger rapport.
Mm-hmm. How did that pause, and when you asked me that, how did that feel to you?
It gave me a little, I felt the break. I felt I had a pause to think about the answer. Mm-hmm. And I think there was even a point where I did say, I need a moment. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that.
Mm-hmm. And that was great. It was so authentic.
It felt completely natural for you to do that. There wasn't a time when I thought, oh, this is lasting mm-hmm. a while. So just so you know how it falls on other people. Yeah, it might have felt really long for you.
Okay.
It probably did. It always does.
And when you go back and listen to it, you'll probably laugh. Because like you said, though, I think the human side of things, like we were talking about right before we came in, you can have the most slick, perfect interviewer in the whole wide world who answers every question just right. But if they don't have that sense of humanity, especially in an HR job, mm-hmm. that can actually give you even more of a connection with the person who you're interviewing with, because then you're getting yourself out of interview mode and into an authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's so important to be yourself in an interview and the best version of yourself. Another thing that I did notice, talking about the vacation day question, is you mentioned, I think it was from 10 to 12 days. I always find myself asking, like, in those kinds of situations, like, when can you be sure? Right? Like, you sometimes have customer service experiences
yeah.
where somebody says, I think it's a dollar. And I want to say, well, I'll wait while you find out. but people don't, you know, people...
They don't speak specifically.
Right. And they don't realize that they say, I think. I'm sure that you were quite sure that it was from...
Yes.
From 12 to 10 days. You know, so even if you're not sure, though...
Speak authoritatively, because mm-hmm. nobody's going to go back and check that mm-hmm. one fact, you know?
Right. Well, you know, it is so nerve-wracking, and it I didn't even know what I've seen some of the
you
times.
You did great, though.
But so how do you calm down? How do you relax and be present?
There's one idea I know somebody turned me on to is Headspace. It's a meditation app, and I think you can get it on your iPhone. And I would either recommend right before just allowing a few breaths, even whether or not you use like a meditation app, or if you just sit outside or downstairs in the lobby for 5 minutes and just allow your breath in and out and just focus on the breath. And naturally doing that will make you more grounded and present and aware and will shape the way that you listen to the person who's interviewing you. And I'm sure Allison has some great tips as well on that.
I really do think of interviews as conversations and the starting point of a relationship. And as Jennifer said, you know, people are rooting for you. Yeah. When you walk in the room, they don't want to interview anybody else.
Yeah, they want you to get the job. They want it to be off their plate.
Mm-hmm. And they like you enough that they've brought you in. So just remembering that people are on your side, they're rooting for you, and you're having a conversation that's a two-way conversation. Just because you're offered a job doesn't mean that it's the right fit for you. And maybe the company will realize it's not the right fit. But it's a conversation, and it's a relationship. And I think that keeping that in mind can be really, really helpful. Because if you don't get a job, chances are, 3 months down the line, it wouldn't have been the right role for you.
Yeah.
If you had gotten it.
Sometimes if I look back and I think, I was more comfortable in that interview, is because I went in with the thought of I'm interviewing them. Is this the right place for me?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes with that, it would calm me down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of both, though. One of the things I talk about in my book and that I always suggest to interviewers is don't ever show up for an interview if you're not willing to give 150% and go in hungry. So the fallback that I see sometimes, yes, absolutely, you are interviewing them, and you should always play full out for an offer. So it's an and both as opposed to an either or, because there's a very different energy between like, oh, I'm interviewing them versus I'm interviewing them and I'm fully intending to get an offer, and if I choose to take that offer when it comes in, that's going to be fantastic. But it comes down to putting yourself in that position of having choice, because we've all been there where we've had people who seem kind of like, yeah, I'm checking you out, all right, I'll see how this goes, versus, oh my gosh, I really want this. And it's better to leave a great impression, and even if you don't want the job, you could always turn it down and keep a great relationship, and that person might move on to a different company.
You never know how an interview will have ramifications later down the line, whether it's that position or another or a connection.
Allison, I would love your 2 cents, because something, I do a lot of personal development and training work with Landmark Education and other things, and so I'm always looking at, okay, how would it occur for me if I were the person in the interview? And something that struck me was when you asked that really interesting question of how would your boss describe you? And I think you actually handled that question well.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you asked the next question, said, how would your friends describe you? I think you said, Francie, totally different. And to me, as an employer, that gave me pause. And I was like, oh, am I dealing with somebody who has 2 different personalities, and which one am I going to get in the office?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are 2 sides to your personality. I mean, you're very different at home than you are at work, I would think.
But see, that's the thing, is I actually think, knowing you personally as a friend, that the way you described yourself, I would completely agree. Charismatic, fun, engaging. Wouldn't that be an incredible person to bring to an interview or to the workplace? Like, that's how it lands over here for me. Like, if I get that Francie to work with, that's going to be somebody who's going to be motivational, inspiring, fun to be around, somebody who other people are going to want to work with and be a part of that team. And often, especially in an HR or any sort of director or manager level position, it's the people who are great leaders. Yes, there's the boundary. Yes, you don't want to go out and get totally drunk with your colleagues on the weekend. But having somebody who feels related to you, feels like they can trust you, somebody who is charismatic, who does have a great sense of humor. You touched on that briefly about your boss, but what if there was a way to like kind of marry the two? And that's a whole other conversation that I've had several guests on the show talking about owning the feminine in business. Is sometimes, I know me as a manager, I had to overcome a lot of obstacles because I thought I had to be a hard ass. I thought I didn't have permission to be fun and effusive and awesome, because then I thought people would walk all over me at the office. And when I shifted that context about 2 years ago in my office, and I stopped being like, hey, this is how it's going to be because I need to get things done, and let's bring play and fun and have the office be this amazing place where we can all laugh and be joyful,
it totally shifted the dynamic of my company.
Mm-hmm. And that's particularly important in HR, where you're a center point for culture. People are looking to you to be the cultural norm. Do you think that you are outgoing and social and all those things at work? Or is it reined in?
You know, it's reined in a little bit. You know, I'm all work, mm-hmm. Little play.
And you're so much fun to play with. Like, you have such a great personality. I remember, actually, can I share something about when you and I first met?
Sure.
So it's not a bad thing, but I remember actually being intimidated by you. I'll never forget, I think we were in Hawaii, we were at a conference, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, wow, she seems nice, but I'm really, like, intimidated. I don't know about getting to know her, and I still have the plant. The first time Francie came over to my house and we had, like, glasses of wine, I still have this awesome plant that's, like, in a little Halloween thing that she gave me. And I just remember seeing a totally different side of you and just immediately wanting to be friends with you and hang out with you more, but being intimidated when we first met.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm shy at work, so I think a little bit of that comes through. I'm not as, you know, if I'm not as talkative, that might not come across as, you know, something positive. So there is a little of that.
So what would you recommend as a coach, Allison? How do you marry the two? Because I'm just giving opinions or like anything. And so it's not that any one of these is right or wrong, but I would love your two cents as an expert and a coach.
No, I think that your answers were true and they were authentic. And I could tell by looking at you, it was what you believed. But I would probably edit the, oh, it's much different.
Yeah, and maybe just say, you know, there's a side of me that comes out. Maybe that's the way you could say it, is you could say, gosh, when I'm at work, you know, my bosses, they appreciate my sense of humor and the fact that I know how to lighten the mood when necessary, but I keep things very professional. And I would say with my friends, I probably let my hair down a little bit more because, you know, you can just let it go. And with HR, you have to be very compliant and sometimes not tell the funny office cooler joke. And so I think it's kind of finding that balance that makes me great, is that I know when it's appropriate to keep it professional as opposed to kind of let loose when and let my hair down.
It's good.
Yeah. For whatever it's worth.
Oh, that's absolutely great.
So we have about 5 or 10 minutes left. Are there any tips or anything else, Francie, that you particularly felt was an obstacle for you or anything you wanted to work on in the interview?
You know, I think towards the end I had said I just need to, and then you also hit home on it too, is just more examples to be able to back up your stories, to be able, you know, the facts. So that's, I just need to work on that.
Is it called STAR? What was that wonderful example you gave?
SOAR.
SOAR, okay.
So when you're telling a story, you use the SOAR acronym, and it's situation, obstacle, action, and result.
Great.
And so that's, and most people forget the result part, but it's an easy way to tell a story. And the absolute most simple version that I use of this is, I was walking down the street, there was a branch in my way, so I moved the branch. And that's typically how people would tell a story, and you all applaud me for moving the branch, and I think I'm wonderful. But if I say, I was walking down the street, and there was a branch in my way, so I moved the branch, and now everyone can walk down the street freely, it's a really highly trafficked area.
Totally different. That's brilliant. I love that.
And that's where you get to pack that punch, and it's true, and it's part of the story. So people that get a little more nervous about tooting their own horn, if you will, or feeling like they're not being modest. I just worked with a group that was really struggling with this. Like, how do I say how great I am? I want to remain modest. But if you're telling a true story and you have these results, that's really where the meat of it is.
It's not about being boastful.
Right.
I love the way you just put that. That was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that great analogy. Did that land for you, Francie?
Yes. This has all been very good feedback.
The last thing I'll say that, again, will make your life so much easier in any interview is look at your resume through the eyes of an employer. And when you know there's quote-unquote holes in your resume, you're not working. You had less than a year here, less than a year there, and, you know, 7 years, and why did you leave? If you are the one to bring that up, you will always win and succeed. So the minute somebody says, oh, Francie, tell me about yourself, or whatever that cliche opening question is, let me get to know you a little bit, walk me through your resume, be the one to acknowledge and say, gosh, as you can see, you know, I took a little bit of time off for personal reasons. I was helping out with my mother-in-law. I'm really excited to get back to work now. I took a couple of interesting jobs. I've moved around a little bit. That is one of the most powerful things you can do, because the minute you start justifying or explaining or blaming your movement, you get into this, it's like quicksand. You get sucked into it and it becomes a sinking hole. As opposed to saying, you know, I took some time off, I had this job, and culturally it just wound up not being the right fit. I was grateful because it was a boutique firm, which I hadn't worked at a firm that size before. So it taught me some things I hadn't learned. But in the long run, I realized I'd prefer to be at a mid-size to larger firm. And the transition time I had over at Nossaman, it was very helpful, because that time I was at Nossaman, I'd always toyed around with the idea of, would I want to work in downtown? So I will tell you right now, had they put that job on the west side, I would be there still right now. And I'm lucky I got to test the waters and try that out. Prior to that at Glacier, they moved me up through the ranks. I started off as an attorney recruiter, eventually moved into office management, and I was one of the lucky ones. I stayed employed during the recession and during the slow times, and the firm did restructure, but thank goodness it was after that was all over, and it gave me a chance to, you know, land on my feet pretty quickly after that, despite eliminating my job.
I can't say enough about those positive spins, because there are...
It sounds wonderful coming from you.
But and it's all accurate. It's all exact. Right. It's just a tiny, tiny different
little
version.
Shift. Uh-huh. Minor mm-hmm. shift. And the thing we tell people is good, bad, good. Mm-hmm. You lead with a positive, lightly touch on what's missing or what didn't work out, and follow up with a positive. And where I find a lot of people get in trouble, and this especially happened during the recession, people get into the sob story. Mm-hmm. It was Black Friday. There was the 10th round of layoffs. I was cut. And it's the drama and the darkness. And that's not what you want somebody to be left with. You never want somebody to be left feeling sorry for you. You want them to be left empowered and inspired and going, wow, she has an amazing attitude, or he has a great attitude. That's exactly the sort of person I want on my team.
Mm-hmm. And you always learned something. And that's what, because I asked that question, I need to make sure that I do mention your answer of something you're trying to improve. Mm-hmm. Because it goes into this conversation of, it should always be something that you've identified as something you want to work on, and you're working on it already, and you're already learning. So it shows that you can reflect on something that maybe wasn't going so well, start to improve it, and then continue to learn. And it might be learn that you want to be in another part of town. It might be learn that you want a different size firm. But it shows that you are somebody who grows from experiences, from all different experiences.
Wonderful point. That's great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So before we wrap up, any tips or anything else you recommend, Allison, to prepare yourself right before you go into an interview? I know we talked about allowing a breath, and we've talked in the past about stretching. Any last mm-hmm. thing you would recommend to shake off those nerves before you go into an interview?
Instead of cramming for those questions, I love the idea of writing down your proudest accomplishments and your biggest achievements. So take a moment to reflect on things that make you confident. What have you done well? What are your kind of top skills? And maybe write a source story, or just read through the source stories you've already created. So you go into that interview feeling empowered and feeling excited to show the best version of yourself.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much,
well,
ladies.
Thank you for your time. Really, this has been great.
It's been such a pleasure. I'm so delighted. And we're going to be doing more of these mock interview Mondays. And since next Monday happens to be 4th of July, I know a lot of people will be seeing fireworks. We are going to have one of our veterans join us on the show. I will be here in studio on Monday to do a mock interview with one of our veterans, because they have a very specific way that they need to transform. How are their skills transformable or transferable from, you know, being in the service into being a civilian? And so we're going to be talking a lot about that with our veteran next week. Tune in. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. It's free to tune in. Go to Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. Or, of course, you can find us on LA Talk Radio's website as well. And tune in every week, every Monday at 4. This is Jennifer Hill with Get Yourself the Job. Our special guest today, Allison Garrido, who it's always a joy to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Francie, our mock interview. Thank you so much for the contribution that you were to all of our listeners, and for being so amazing and coachable today.
And brave. Thank
and
you.
And brave. Very brave. And thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
You're listening listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.